2 Samuel chapter 19, and we read in the verse 15 of the chapter, verse 15, "So the king returned and came to Jordan, and Judah came to Gilgal to go to meet the king, to conduct the king over Jordan." Speaking of the reign of King Solomon, Israel's third king and King David's son, you read in 1 Kings 4, verse 24, "He had peace on all sides round about him." While Solomon, the third king of Israel's reign, was marked with tranquility and marked with harmony, the same thing could most certainly not be said about the reign of his father, King David. Whilst there are many words that you could use to describe the reign of David, the words such as peace and harmony would not be in that category. During his long 40-year reign, King David faced many an enemy and many a foe. Even before he ascended the throne, and he had done nothing amiss in his life, you find he was constantly at war with the king then, King Saul. Then at the beginning of his reign, David, he began his reign of Jerusalem, in that he had to take the city of Jerusalem, which was taken by the Jebusites since the time of Joshua. Once he then ascended the throne, David, he was like Jesus Christ in the sense that he went forth conquering and to conquer. Once he ascended the throne, David, he began conquering nation after nation. You know, if you were David and you were to look to your left or look to your right or look to your north or even look to your south, you would be constantly fighting a battle. David, throughout his reign, he battled with the Edomites, the Amalekites, the Philistines, the Moabites, as well as the Ammonites during his lengthy reign. David, he faced enemies without, but he also faced enemies within. In 2 Samuel chapter 15, you read of Absalom, David's third son. In that chapter, he was described as one of the fairest men of all the kingdom. However, whilst he was beautiful outwardly, the same could not be said of Absalom inwardly. There in that chapter, you read that he stole the hearts of the children of Israel. He, as it were, stole their hearts from his father David. And he eventually led them in a revolt against his father, and as he tried to steal the throne from under the nose of David. Whilst Absalom was rising up and seeking to usurp the throne from his father David, David, he had to flee in exile from Jerusalem and to await the retaking of his throne. Eventually, in 2 Samuel 18, this tug of war for the throne reached its climax. There you read of the Battle of Ephraim, or Battle of the Wood, at the Wood in Ephraim. And there you find Absalom's son was slain, and David assumed his position as king of Israel. And now here in chapter 19, you find the king, he's returning. He's returning back to his royal throne in Jerusalem. Now that Absalom, his oppressor, has been subdued, now David, he's returning, he's marching triumphantly through the streets of Jerusalem to assume his royal dynasty. And as he returned, it should have been a time of great joy, a time of great jubilation, a time of great celebration for the children of Israel. But you know, not everybody was happy to see the king returning. As you read through 2 Samuel chapter 19, while some were ready, some were awaiting the king's return, others were sadly not ready, and they were sadly not happy at the return of King David. And tonight, when the king returns, while some will be organized, others will sadly be disorganized. As King David returned, and there were those who were ready, those who were awaiting his return, there were those who couldn't wait until he returned, yet sadly, there were others, and they were not ready for his return. And tonight I wonder, as we think of the return of another king, as we think of the return of Jesus Christ, who will one day return to this earth and will reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, I wonder, will you be like those who, as we were going to discover, there were those who were ready, those who were ready for the return of David? Will you be like that? Will you be ready?
Will you, as it were, have your robes dressed in white? Will you be ready for the king, the return of the king? Or will you be like those who were disorganized, those who weren't ready, those who maybe didn't even expect the king to return on such short notice? Oh, tonight, are you ready? Are you ready for the king's return? You may say to me, well, how do you know Christ is going to return? How do you know that he will return? Well, in Acts chapter 1, verse 11, when Christ ascended to heaven, we read then there were two angels, and they revealed themselves to the disciples. And in Acts 1, verse 11, we read, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." And the angels, they said to the disciples there, after Christ was ascended, they basically said, "Look, as you've seen him ascend through the clouds, so he'll return just exactly the same way. He will return through the clouds from heaven." And whilst Christ is now ascended, there will one day be a day when he will descend again to earth. Just as he was taken from this earth and he rose up into heaven, so one day he'll return. He'll return to earth, and he will return to judge this world in righteousness. Christ will definitely return. Just as King David, as he returned from exile, as it were, so Jesus Christ will most definitely return. The question tonight is this: are you ready? Are you ready for the return of the king? How will you respond even tonight as you think about this thought that the king could return? What will your response be to the returning king? And so tonight I want to think this evening here as we look in 2 Samuel 19 about responses to the returning king. Responses to the returning king. I want you to notice firstly here, thinking about the return of the king, that some will be worried. They'll be worried. Verse 17 we read, "And there was 1,000 men of Benjamin with them, and Ziba the servant of the house of Saul, and his 15 sons and his 20 servants with him. And they went over Jordan before the king." Here you read of a man named Ziba. You say to me, who was Ziba? Well, Ziba was the servant of Mephibosheth, one of Saul's sons. Ziba here was actually one of the first people to meet King David upon his return to Jerusalem. Whenever David fled Jerusalem, whenever his son Absalom rose up and tried to usurp the throne, Ziba, he sent supplies to David whenever he was in Mahanaim. Ziba, he sent supplies to keep the king and to sustain him whilst the king was in exile. You read about this in 2 Samuel chapter 16. And however, whilst it seems that it was a very good thing he did, a very commendable thing he did, that he sent these supplies to help sustain David on his exile, there was an ulterior motive on the part of Ziba. Whenever he did this, he was essentially trying to buy the favor of the king, or as we would say, to get on side with King David. You see, David, he had adopted Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was a son of Saul. However, David, in 2 Samuel 9, you read that he had taken Mephibosheth to be one of his own. He had adopted him into his family. And Ziba here, whenever he was speaking to David, as you read through the chapter, you'll discover that Ziba tried to slander Mephibosheth. He tried to slander the king's son to David. And so whenever he lied to David about his son Mephibosheth, David, in response, he gave Ziba all of the land of Mephibosheth. David, essentially, because of Ziba's previous kindness to him, he showed him favor. He believed his story. He believed Ziba's lies. And so here was Ziba, and he gave all the impression that he was a loyal servant of the king. Oh, he had sent him supplies. But now we begin to see the heart of Ziba as he comes to David and as he slanders his own son, his adopted son, to the king. And here we see that he was really just using King David to accomplish his own ends. And in the church, whilst there are true possessors of Christ, there are also false professors of Christ. Oh, there are those who, like Ziba, give all the appearance that they're a loyal servant to Jesus Christ, but really they don't love him. Really, when you look at their lives, they are anything but a Christian. And if that's perhaps you, I say to you that just like Ziba, as David was going to return, and David would, as it were, deal with all of his pretenses, deal with all of his pretending. So I say to you, be very, very worried, because if you're, as it were, just giving that impression that you are a Christian, but you're not actually a loyal servant of Christ, then you should be worried. You should be very, very worried indeed, because the king will return, and he will, as it were, examine, he will scrutinize your profession, and he will see if you are the genuine article. You know, in Matthew 7, verses 22 and 23, we read there, speaking of the coming day, the return of Christ. Christ says himself, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, in thy name done many wonderful works. But Christ said sadly, then will I profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And here he was speaking about his return. And he said there will be many, and they'll point to all that they have done for him. They'll say, Lord, we've preached in your name. Lord, we've labored in your name. But sadly, he'll say to you, say to them that they never knew them. Why was it that he never knew them? Because he described them as those that worked iniquity. And he's speaking here about habitual sin. Those who really live in habitual sin and have never had the change of Christ wrought in their lives. You see, the habitual lover of sin is sadly not a lover of Christ. And I say to you, if you live for your sin and you love your sin, even though you may profess the name of Christ, I would say to you, be very, very worried. I can ask you tonight, are you really saved? Are you really the genuine article? If you're like Ziba and you give all of that show, all of the pretense, but really when we examine your life and the king, as it were, examines your life, it seems that you don't show the true evidence of being a Christian. I would say to you then, be very, very worried. If you're merely pretending, just professing, but you're not really a Christian, be very, very worried. Be very, very worried, because the king could return at any moment and you need to be ready for his return. So some will be worried, but also thinking about the return of the king, some will also be wise. Some will be wise. Verse 18, we read, there went a ferry boat to carry over the king's household to do what he thought good. And Shimei the son of Gera fell down before the king as he was come over Jordan. We looked at the life of Shimei in detail last week, and I'll just recap some of the details that we learned. You remember how we learned that he appears in the Bible in 2 Samuel 16 and here in also 2 Samuel 19. Remember how we learned last week what Ziba was really, really like. In 2 Samuel 16, we read there of David. And of course, David, he was just leaving Jerusalem at that time. And what was Shimei? What was he doing? Well, as David and his crowd that were with him, as they were traveling out of Jerusalem, Shimei there, didn't he have the stone in his hand? And he was throwing stones at the king, and he was cursing the king, and he was calling him names. But now we find that things are different. Things are different in 2 Samuel 19. Because Shimei, what was he doing now? Well, we read here in this verse that he came and he bowed before the king. He fell down before the king. And I say that he was wise because it seems that there was a change that happened in the heart of Shimei. The man who was previously cursing the king in chapter 16 was now the man who was bowing before the king. Verse 16 of 2 Samuel chapter 19, we read, there were those who hasted and came down with the men of Judah to meet the king. It seems that Shimei was so excited that he couldn't wait for King David to come back, that he hasted and he ran all the way to Judah to Jordan to meet King David. So here's a man who was wise. He was wise in that he exhibited a change of heart before the king returned. And rather than being callous towards the king or not even caring about the king, you're to have a change of heart towards the king. Like Shimei, before the king returns, you're to have that change of heart towards Jesus Christ. Wonder tonight, have you been like Shimei? Wonder if you've been cursing Christ, calling Christ names, as it were, being very, very callous, being very, very hard towards Jesus Christ. I say to you, be wise. Be wise like Shimei and have that change of heart, have that change of affection towards the king before he returns. You know, there were many who changed their mind in the Bible. Many who changed their minds and their thoughts concerning Jesus Christ. One of those who really, really, it just goes in unnoticed, I believe, was the Roman centurion. There was a Roman centurion who, in Matthew chapter 27, it seems he was superintending the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. But as he sat there, as he stood there, and he looked at the cross and saw Jesus Christ die, we read concerning the centurion and they that were with him in Matthew 27, verse 54. We read, they watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, and they feared greatly, saying, truly this was the Son of God. And as he watched Christ die, it seems that he changed his mind. He changed his heart. He changed his affection towards Jesus Christ. And rather than having a callous heart or even a cold heart towards the king, you're to have a change of heart towards the king. Before he returns, you're, as it were, to change your mind, to change your thought, to change your direction towards Jesus Christ. Because whenever he comes, it will be too late. It'll be too late then to suddenly see him in all of his glory and all of his splendor and to change your mind then. I say to you, whilst you have opportunity, change your mind, change your heart towards Jesus Christ. You know, Lew Wallace was the governor of New Mexico, and he and his friend Robert Ingersoll, they were both atheists, and they got together to disprove the Bible. Lew Wallace, for 6 years, he read through the Bible and he sought to disprove it by looking through it carefully and looking if there were to see if there were any mistakes. He then came to his friend Robert Ingersoll after 6 years of reading the Bible, and he said this. He said, for 6 years I've studied the Bible to prove it be false, but now I realize Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. He is the Messiah of the Jews. Now he's my Savior and Lord, and he's the coming King of this world. And he was wise in that he changed his mind before the king returned. Let me ask you, have you changed your mind? You know, the Bible tells us that our minds, they're given over to sin. Our affections are given over to sin. But within salvation, when Christ comes and Christ changes us, we change our mind. We change our mind. Have you changed your mind this evening? Changed your mind before it's too late. Before the king returns in glory. Some will be worried, some will be wise. Notice thirdly here that some will be without. In chapter 20 and verse 1 of 2 Samuel, we read, there happened to be there a man of Belial, whose name was Sheba, the son of Bichri, a Benjamite. And he blew a trumpet and said, we have no part in David, neither have we the inheritance in the son of Jesse. Whenever David returned, there was another man who went to meet him as he ascended the throne. His name was Sheba, and he is described in verse 1 as a son of Belial. When you read through this verse, it seems that Sheba, before King David returned, he sought to lead a rebellion against the king. And it seems that he only had one thing on his mind, and that was to see the king overthrown even before he returned to Jerusalem. Whenever David returned and he saw Sheba and heard of Sheba and heard of his rebellion, heard of his anarchy against the king, David, he got together some of his soldiers, some of his servants,
And he sent them out after Sheba to punish him. And in chapter 20, verse 22, we read, they cut off the head of Sheba, the son of Bichri. And here was a man who, before the king returned, sought to rise up and sought to wreak anarchy and havoc against the king. But he was judged. He was judged for his anarchy against King David. You see, the anarchist before the king will eventually be annihilated by the king. And if you've been rebelling against the king and running from the king, then whenever the king returns, oh, he might not literally, as it were, just as David, as he ordered his men to literally chop off the head of Sheba, he might not, he won't literally do that, as it were, but spiritually speaking, he will take your body, he will unite it with your soul, and he will cast it into the torments of hell forever. And tonight, if you're rebelling against the king, whenever he returns, you will be destroyed. Destroyed in the sense that you will be sent to hell for your rebellion. Oh, I wish that you could see that. I wish that you could see that God must judge you for rebelling against the king. And whenever he returns, there will be that exacting of his justice against you for your sin. Again, speaking of the return of Christ, we read in 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 8, we read, the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance of them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul here is speaking of Christ's second coming. And whenever he speaks of the second coming of Christ, he says the Lord will come, and he'll not be alone, he'll have a legion of mighty angels. And we're told there that they will take vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, when the king returns, one of two things will happen. You'll either be delivered from the fire, or you will be delivered into the fire. You will be either saved or lost in hell for all eternity. And if you've been rebelling against the king, the Lord, he is just to do these things. He will, as it were, just as David sent his generals, sent his servants, he will send his angels, and they will send you to hell for your rebellion. Oh, tonight, would you not be wise? Would you not rather be wise, be like Shimei, and throw down your puny arms of rebellion, and bow before the king before he returns and it's too late? You know, I heard once about a town where a horse and cart ran away with and in the cart there was a little boy being carried, seeing the danger and the child that the danger that the child was in. A young man, he followed the horse cart and he ran and he rescued the child from the cart. However, that young child who was rescued, he grew up to live a life of lawlessness of sin and life of sin. And one day he came and he had to stand before the judge before his crimes. Whenever he was standing before the judge, he realized who the judge was. He realized that the judge was the man who had rescued him as a child. Because he knew the judge, he thought he would use this to his advantage, and he asked for mercy on the basis of his knowledge of the judge. But the words came back from the judge, young man, then I was your savior. Today I'm your judge. Today I must sentence you to be hanged. And when Christ returns, he'll either return as your savior or return as your judge. Which one will it be? Will you be wise? Will you be wise like Shimei? Or will you be without? Will you be like Sheba here? And will you be punished for your crimes? Some will be wise, some will be worried, some will be without. Notice here, fourthly, that some will be waiting. Verse 24, we read, Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king, and had neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes from the day that the king departed, until the day he came again in peace. That 2 Samuel 19, verse 24. Not all were worried or without at the return of the king. One such man was Mephibosheth.
whenever he came out to meet King David, it seems that he hadn't washed or shaved since the day that David left Jerusalem in exile. The reason for this is not that he was an extremist or that he was strange, but it's because he was in mourning because David was in exile. There was a previous relationship that existed between David and Mephibosheth. In 2 Samuel chapter 9, you find Mephibosheth, who was a son of Saul, a King David's enemy at the time. King David did a marvelous thing. He came to Mephibosheth one day, and Mephibosheth was a man who was lame and who couldn't even walk. And he came to Mephibosheth, and he welcomed him into his family, adopted him to be part of his family, and gave him a place at his table as one of the king's sons. Now we find Mephibosheth. There he is. His father, in, as it were, his adopted father. He's been in exile. And now Mephibosheth, he's waiting. He's waiting for the return of his father and his king. And whilst there will be those who will be worried about the king, there will also be those who are waiting upon the king. There will be those who are waiting for and longing for his appearing. Now, those who I'm speaking of tonight are Christians. There are those who have been saved by grace. There are those who have been justified by Jesus Christ. There are those who are like Mephibosheth, have experienced the favour of the king and are now part of the king's family and now feast at the table with the king. Are you one of them? Are you looking forward to the day when Christ will return? Are you like Mephibosheth, as it were? Are you waiting for his return? Are you longing for the day then when Christ will come and will return to take you to glory? Paul speaks of such in Titus 2, verse 13, where he says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. And Paul, he says to those, says to Titus, there will be those who will look for the appearing of Jesus Christ. You see, the wise in this world are not those who despise the king, but those who desire the king. Those who are longing, those who are waiting for the king's return. Are you one of them? Are you one of those who, like Mephibosheth, are just waiting for the return of the king? There were those who were without, there were those who were wise, those who were waiting. But also, lastly, I want you to notice quickly, there were those who were working. Verses 31 and 32 of 2 Samuel 19, we read, Barzillai the Gileadite came down from Rogalim and went over Jordan with the king to conduct him over Jordan. Now Barzillai was a very aged man, even 80 years old, and he had provided the king of sustenance while he lay at Mahanaim, for he was a very great man. Notice there at the end of verse 32 how Barzillai is described. He's described as a very great man. Whenever David was in exile, he was involved in getting supplies to sustain him in exile. And now you find Barzillai here. He's described as a very aged man, 80 years old. He's 80 years old. And yet whenever the king returns, Barzillai is found serving the king. You see, we're not just to be waiting on the king, but whenever the king returns, we are to be working for the king. Yes, we're to be watching for his return and waiting for his return, but we're also to be working towards his return. And I even say to you this evening, Christian, are you working? Are you working towards the return of the king? Are you like Barzillai? Yes, you're maybe getting on in years. Maybe there's things that you can't do that you used to do. But whenever Christ returns, the king returns, will he find you working? Will he find you laboring faithfully for him? Different responses to the returning king. Shimei was wise. Ziba was worried. Sheba was without. Mephibosheth was waiting. Barzillai was working. Which one are you? Which one are you? I trust this evening that you find yourself in some of these categories tonight.